You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. Today we're beginning Season 10, and during the season, we're going to be focusing on some lessons from Peter's first letter. And in today's lesson, we're going to be talking about a living hope. So let's get started. As we go through these lessons, what we're going to be noticing is that Peter writes about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, he says that I've written to you about the true grace of God. Now, there are a lot of people who have ideas about grace, but Peter, as he's talking about grace, he's talking about the true grace of God. And so as we go through these lessons in this season, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about what God's grace looks like. And here in this first lesson, this first episode today, we're going to be looking at the living hope that Peter talks about. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Here, as he begins this series, this section of verses here, he's talking about God's work to save us. He mentions all three members of the Godhead as being involved in our salvation. He mentions God the Father as by the foreknowledge of God the Father. By his foreknowledge, he crafted a plan to save us. This is, as Paul described it in Ephesians 3:11, part of his eternal purpose. So God the Father was involved by his foreknowledge. He mentions Jesus Christ here, and how we are sprinkled with his blood, the blood that he shed on the cross. Peter would talk about this later in this letter, in chapter 3 and verse 18, that Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. And Peter also mentions here in 1 Peter 1:2, the work of the Spirit, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Spirit sets us apart and makes us holy and separate from the world. How does he do this? Well, he sanctifies us through the revelation that he has given us that came from God, from the Lord. And Jesus talked to his apostles about this in John 16 and verse 13. The Spirit's going to come and to guide you into all the truth. Well, he said in the next chapter in John 17, 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so through that revelation and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Acts 2 and verse 38 talks about, that we have fellowship with God, that we are one with him. We are set apart. But notice what Peter also mentions there in verse 2. The foreknowledge of God, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, sprinkled with the blood of Christ, but it mentions there that we obey Jesus Christ. Our salvation is only possible because of God, but we still have a role to play. We still have something to do. We are to obey. Hebrews 5:9 says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. And so our salvation is only possible because of the work of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But we have a part to play in this. We are called to obey Jesus Christ so we can be sprinkled with his blood. But then he goes on, he talks about this living hope. In verse 3, Peter says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Peter talks here about being born again, what is he talking about? Well, we leave 1 Peter here for just a moment, and we look over in John chapter 3. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Jews, talked to him about being born again. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what does it mean to be born again? Well, Nicodemus didn't know. And so he is thinking in terms of a physical birth that we are all familiar with. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Well, no, he can't. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus explained in verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Paul would talk about this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, where he says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." When Jesus talked about being born of water and the Spirit, and Paul talked about being buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, that's being born again. And so Peter, when he's writing here in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, he says, "We have been born again. We have been baptized into Christ. We have a new life in Christ." And he says that this is according to his great mercy. All of us, we know from Romans 3:23, have sinned. And because we have sinned, we are worthy of punishment. But God, through his mercy, gives us a chance to be saved. We can be born again. And we can be born again. We can obey the gospel. We can be baptized into Christ, be sprinkled with his blood. And this is for a living hope. As we're going to see here in just a minute, this hope is one that looks forward to eternal life in heaven. This is a living hope, which means it is not lost in death. It is not something that we could lose or we could lose sight of in the face of the trials that we face. This is a living hope, and it is a hope that is made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, if he was not buried and then raised up again, then we could be buried in the waters of baptism and then raised up, but it wouldn't do us any good. It is only because Jesus was raised from the dead that we have hope of being raised from the dead. And so we have this hope for us if we'll be born again in order to receive that hope. But what is this hope that we're hoping to obtain, that we want to obtain? 1 Peter 1, he goes on, verses 4 and 5, "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." This hope that we have, it's hope of an inheritance in heaven, and a hope that is imperishable, as he says there. Strong's defines that word imperishable as being undecaying. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he tells us we are to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. The treasures on earth, that can happen to those things. Though the treasures here, they decay, they wear out, they're lost, they're stolen, they're taken, something happens to them, they're not here forever. The inheritance that we are hoping for in heaven, it is imperishable. It will not decay. It will not be destroyed. It is imperishable. It is undefiled. That word undefiled signifies purity, that there is nothing corrupt there. All of the problems that we have here in this life and all of the hardships that we face are not going to exist in heaven. It is undefiled. It will not fade away. It is for eternity. And Peter says there, not only is it imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, he says it is reserved in heaven for us. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that he was going to prepare a place for them. Well, for who? For just the disciples? Is it only reserved for them? No. Peter says here, this is reserved for you. Well, who's he talking about? Who is he talking to that is reserved in heaven for you? He's talking about those who, in verse 2, obeyed Jesus Christ and were sprinkled with his blood. He's talking to those who were born again in verse 3, to those who, as we're going to see in verse 9, obtain as the outcome of their faith, the salvation of their souls. Those who obey him, those who are born again, those who are faithful, those are the ones who have this hope that is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for them. If we want to obtain that hope, we need to make sure that we fall into those categories. So then he goes, as he continues, he writes about how we can reach our hope. In verses 6 and 7, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As we are striving to reach that hope, Peter says that you're going to be distressed by various trials. He is going to, and we'll see this as we look at other lessons in this series, but he's going to talk about in this letter the fact that we will suffer as Christians. There will be hardships that we will have to endure. But as we endure these hardships, he says there in verse 7, the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Enduring these trials and going through these sufferings proves our faith, and it will result in, as he described, praise and glory and honor, as the Lord will exalt us. In 1 Peter 5:6, as he talks about that, this is what the Lord will do if we will endure. Well, when is this going to be received? Well, he mentions there at the end of verse 7, it will be at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he returns. Paul described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, that if we hoped in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Our hope is something beyond this life. Our hope comes after we are raised from the dead, after the resurrection. Well, Peter, as he's describing this hope that we have, when are we going to receive this? So it's not going to be in this life. It's going to be after this life. It's going to be after the Lord returns, after the resurrection occurs. So this is when we are hoping to obtain it. And so as we close this section of verses there, we look at verses 8 and 9. Peter talks about the outcome of our faith. Verse 8 says, "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Peter said there that you have not seen Christ. Not true for Peter, but it was true for some of them in the first century, and it's certainly true for us. We have not seen Christ. Yet we love him. We love him because of what he has done for us, as he has offered himself and as a sacrifice for us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, John in that passage says, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In verse 19, it says, "We love because he first loved us." The Lord loved us. God the Father, willing to send his Son, Jesus Christ, willing to offer himself as a sacrifice. We have not seen him, but because of what he has done, we love him. And Peter says, "And though you do not see him now, you believe in him." Jesus has not been seen by anyone today, but we can see from the words of Peter, from John, from the other apostles, the words that are written down in the scriptures, we can see from those who saw him, not only saw him, but saw him after he was raised from the dead, and we believe in him. And he says, "You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." We should always rejoice in the Lord for the hope that we have. As he says, he goes on and says that you obtain as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Through faith, we can be saved. But the outcome of that faith, meaning the end of the faith, is salvation. What that means is that faith needs to continue until the end. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, Revelation 2:10 says. The outcome is salvation, but we have to reach the end. And so Peter, as he begins this letter, he talks about this living hope that we have, a living hope of an eternal inheritance in heaven that is available to everyone in Christ. And so if we want to obtain it, we have to be born again, as we talked about, be born again so that we can receive that living hope and then continue to live by faith so that we can have that outcome of salvation that we want to obtain.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
The lessons during this season of the podcast are based upon a sermon series that I'm presenting at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. The sermons go into a little bit more depth than what we did in the episodes. The episodes are 15 minutes or so long. The sermons are 35 minutes or so. So there's more content in the sermons. And so if you would like to hear those are available. The lesson about the living hope that we talked about today, that's going to be available, the link to it available in the show notes, so you can check that out. Also, the latest issue of the Plain Bible Teaching Quarterly Review was sent out yesterday. These issues contain the most recent articles published on the website, and this one contains articles from February to April. So if you're not on the Plain Bible Teaching email list and would like to receive that, you can sign up at plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe. And when you sign up and confirm your subscription, you'll receive this along with two other free PDFs that you can have and use. So those are available to you if you're not yet on the email list. Next week, we're going to be talking about a call to holiness. So until then, I hope you have a great week.